Okay. I wanted to say today that we have a very special guest with a very crucial project that he is kicking off this next week. Starting this Sunday, and I'm going to have him tell you about it. But Attorney Tom Cryer has been a patriot for some time, and he actually is, there's something very notable about him. He actually whipped the IRS in court, and that's no small undertaking. A few people have done that, but handily. He was born in Southwest Louisiana and grew up on a farm in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He went to Sam Houston High School, House Bluff, Louisiana. He has multiple majors, McNeese State University, JD, LSU Law School, cum laude, 1973. He was inducted into the LSU Law School Hall of Fame in 1987. 36 years in trial practice in numerous courts, admitted in Louisiana U.S. Tax Court, various appellate courts, circuits, and United States Supreme Court. And what I'd rather do is maybe have him just tell you a little bit about himself, and we'll get underway right away.
All right. Well, basically, I'm just me. My name is, I was told to introduce myself the other down in Jekyll Island a while back at a little get-together, and I got up and said, my name is Tom Cryer, and I'm an American. And so that's how I'll tell about myself. And but basically, I've been practicing law for a long time. I've been concerned about the state of the state for a long time, and the state of the union. And, you know, on discovering a few years back that there was a movement afoot, I got involved. And been involved ever since. The chief goal that I have had is to solve the biggest problem that I see in the freedom movement whenever I arrived on the scene, and that was that it's in a state of disarray and confusion, that it is all fragmented. Each issue is competing with other issues for both funding and for attention. And they're not working together in a coordinated way, the way that different branches, say, of an armed forces should work, or even any other movement would work. And so I formed Truth Attack a couple of years ago in order to give it a hub to serve as sort of the nerve center and the offensive arm. Everybody continue to do what they're doing, not trying to merge anybody. Everybody continue to do and support what they're supporting, not trying to take any support away from anybody. But everybody pitching in to help make projects a success that take the offensive rather than purely defensive. And that's why we ended up with a byline of Truth Attack, putting the government back in its box, one tentacle at a time. Truth Attack will line up behind a particular issue, and we will go on the offensive until that issue is won. And then we'll align ourselves with another. Our first is the misapplication of the income tax, because I think that when the government's problem is that it's grown way outside of its intended limits, it's gotten way too big for its britches, that the first thing to do, just like the first thing that I probably should do a little bit more of, and that is put it back on its 1,500-calorie diet that it was intended to live on. The Founding Fathers knew that it would try to get bigger, and so that's one of the restraints that they put on it, was by limiting its taxing authority, not only as to what it could tax, but how it could go about taxing certain types of tax subjects. So we're pushing on that particular tentacle to get it back in the box. And that'll make it easier for all of the others to go back in, because they will then be back on the diet they were intended to live with. They've broken into the feed shed, and that's what's enabled them to get out here and form organizations and agencies such as Department of Education, Department of Agriculture, things that they were never intended to govern.
Well, I think your strategy is very efficient. I really like the way that you focus that, and it's like a laser, and you can really get it done one thing at a time, and inch by inch is a cinch, as they say. I'm sorry, I may have cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's going to have to be an offensive measure, but if we go over the top, as they did in World War One, we're so outgunned that we would be mowed down just like they were in World War One, when the machine gun completely changed the picture of the battlefield. And here we're up against a much bigger, stronger, better equipped, army. So we've got to pick and choose. We got to have fight smart instead of hard, or as well as hard, because they're bigger than us for the time being. Now there are 300 million of us, but that's not all in the freedom movement. The more people we get in the freedom movement, the bigger we will be. But in the current project that Truth Attack has going is a sort of a long-term investment for Truth Attack. This isn't so much a tax issue project as it is a force-building project, because we're calling it Tea Party Squared, and the purpose is to equip this new Tea Party phenomenon, these people who are waking up, but so many of them don't even really have an understanding of what's wrong. They just know it's not supposed to be this way. You know, the government isn't supposed to make our decisions for us. The government isn't supposed to raise our children. The government isn't supposed to manage, allow some foreign privately owned corporation to govern our monetary system. The government isn't supposed to be taking money and handing it out to big corporations so that they can have multi-million dollar bonus packages for their employees and have their big celebration of what I call the unholy marriage between big business and money on the one hand and big government on the other, because that's the very definition of fascism. So what we're doing is, I can see that the Tea Party phenomenon, and please, folks, don't take this as criticism, because it certainly isn't, but I see the Tea Party phenomenon as being a potentially to do more harm than good, because what they're going to do is get out there, and the government's reaction to what they're doing is absolutely perfect. I used to be a political strategist, and if they'd come to me on this one and said, what do we do about this, I'd say do exactly what you're doing, with the sole exception, coming out and attacking Fox News and that kind of stuff, going on the offensive. That was a mistake. But the rest of it, everything they're doing is perfect. They're ignoring. They are minimizing. They're pretending that it doesn't exist. They own and control the media as well as the government, and so the media is playing it down. 1.7 million people, according to an independent evaluation, shows up in Washington, D.C., if never happened before in history. And they just brush it off as a bunch of angry white racists. And, the people that were there said there was a large percentage of that group that was not white. And this isn't a white or black situation. This is a big government versus freedom situation. But it's being played down for that. And I'll use the Ron Paul campaign. As hard as everybody worked, it was all for nothing, because the media totally elbowed it out of the picture and upstaged it with all of the other campaigns, all the other news, anything but Ron Paul. Well, that's going to be anything but the Tea Party. And then people will become discouraged, and then they'll come to the conclusion that, well, I tried, but it's too far gone. I can't save it. We can't be saved. There's nothing we can do about it. And then they accept it. Now, once that happens, and they demonstrate to the rest of the country that efforts like this are futile, then neither one of them will join up and take on the cause. And that terrifies me, that we are going to miss this opportunity. So Tea Party Squared is designed to give these people who are waking up the tools and the skills that they need to exercise and exert political force on our representatives, even the ones we have now. Yes, we need to get rid of them all, but we can't afford to press 435 campaigns, which is why, let alone 535 when you count the Senate, and those that extra 100 are statewide campaigns, not local. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars in order to have an impact on those. But what we're going to do is, we've got two projects, by the way. One is the Amok Awards. The Amok Awards project is America's Most Unwanted Congressman Awards. We're going to pick out three or four congressional districts where we have excellent prospects for having a good candidate that's viable and who may be able to resist the morally and spiritually corrosive effects of power once he gets in office. You'll never know until you try him out, but he's got to be better than what we've got in there. And so we're going to go in, and Truth Attack is going to call on the entire freedom movement across the entire country to focus their resources and their attention on those four little districts. And we're going to tell everybody we're going to take those four guys out. And after we do, then we're going to tell everybody else that's left. We told you we're going to take them out. We did. And guess what? You're on the short list for next year's Amok Awards. Would you like to know how to get off of the list? You know, they selected fear as the terms of engagement on this. We didn't. So they can't complain. But the point is, with that particular project is what moves politicians. And that is retaining the power they have and adding to it with additional power. Now, that power has to come from somewhere. Power is made of liberty, yours and mine. The more power they have, the less liberty we have. You can't have it both ways. And so we have to stop that growth of power, and we have to also make them so afraid of losing all the power they have that they will give back some of that. And we take a bit. And just as it was taken away from us in little bits and pieces, we'll take it back in little bits and pieces, but we will take it back. Now, Tea Party Squared is another half of that approach. And what we want to do or see happen in Tea Party Squared is for them to be able to see an actual, real, on-the-ground change that they brought about by changing the direction that their representatives have been taking. And I know from 25 years in the political trenches what it is that congressmen and other politicians as well look at. And you're not going to believe, you know, whenever somebody says, I'll tell you what, if you were a longtime Republican supporter and you're a regular contributor and you call up that Republican congressman, you're going to have his ear. And he's going to really be interested in knowing what you think. You're on the bottom of the list. If you and I were to send two identical letters and you wrote that letter that way, I've been a longtime supporter. I'm a Republican, dyed in the wool. I'll contribute to the Republican Party and the local campaigns every year. And I want you to do so-and-so. And I wrote a letter saying, look, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not for you or I'm not against you. But I am against this thing that you're wanting to do. I want you to change. And I want you to do thus and so. Because, you know, that's going to decide my vote. My letter, believe it or not, counts 10 times as much as yours. A lot of people don't realize that. Not only that, but how that letter is written is going to make a big difference. Not by just how well written or whether you're an author or a scribe or a poet. Not that type of how it's written. But whether it's written, generated by a computer, or whether it's handwritten, doubles the value of that letter, or cuts it in half, depending on which one it is. What we're going to do is going to reveal all of these tricks of the trade. Why is it that, for example, getting the word out, why is it that some letters to the editor are tossed and some get published? they don't just pick one out of a hopper and say, we're going to publish that one. I haven't written a lot of letters to the editor, probably not more than a dozen over my lifetime. But you want to know how many of mine have been published? Every single one of them. Every single letter to the editor I've ever written has been published. Most of the time, they actually have converted it to a guest column and published it that way rather than in the letters section. Now, why is that? Am I just lucky? Or maybe there's something that they're looking for in a letter to the editor that makes it published material instead of trash material. And that's what we're going to be talking about in these seminars. That's why we're going to be telling people the secrets that the politician doesn't want you to know how he keeps his finger on your pulse. He doesn't want you to know what matters to him. Because if you know what matters to him and you know what makes him tick and you know where the buttons are, then you could take advantage of that. Now, if I know those buttons and you don't, who's more powerful, you or me? If you know those buttons and the guy sitting next to you doesn't, which one is more powerful, you or your buddy? And so that's what the power of being a citizen comes into. Not just being a citizen and having a vote every 4 or every 2 years, but the fact that you know what to do with it in between, how to crack that whip of public will above that insolent and indifferent representative's head, where he listens to it and he says, whoa, that's important. And I mean identical, verbatim letters. One's important, the other one is gets shredded. Never, it doesn't even count. It's a one maybe. So we're going to be telling the secrets of how. I know, you know, when we were looking at a campaign, when I was back in the middle of the party, I was chairman for a while, about 2 or 3 years. And that's how I learned that the Republican Party is not going to be the solution. They're the other leg of the same pair of britches. Their only argument between the Republicans and the Democrats is who gets to drive the bus over the cliff. They both want more power. They both want bigger government and don't believe anything else. The grassroots of the Republican Party isn't dead serious, and they work. But I know because I spent 25 years in the trenches with those men and women, and they're all loyal, honest to God, great Americans. But they were being duped. And I did a stupid thing. I compounded their lying to us by doing something stupid. I quit. So now I'm trying to make up for it. This Republican Liberty Caucus is what we should have done back then. That was 17 years ago. Think of what we could have accomplished in this last 17 years if we had done that this then. Maybe just wasn't time for it. I don't know. But by arming the Tea Party groups with these tools on how to get the word out to the public, how to wake up the rest of the sleeping giant, and then how that giant can grab that congressman by the nape of the neck and shake him till his teeth rattle and make him obey, make him represent your will, not his interests. And that will preserve, that will save the Tea Party phenomenon, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I do believe that if they get the power and they understand the power that they actually have, I can't give them any power, but I can sure tell them how to swing that sword. I can sure teach them how to use those tools that are in the toolbox that a citizen comes equipped with when he's born. He gets his toolbox, but he never gets taught how to use them. We've been asleep at the wheel.
What you're saying, sir, is so powerful. I mean, it is just, I mean, I hope everybody is really, really listening and hearing what you're saying, because you don't hear that often. It's a breath of fresh air to the, whatever you want to call it, the freedom of the Patriot Movement, whatever it may be. I do want to get into a little bit more detail, but I just want to take a second here to remind people that if you do have a question for Tom Cryer and you're on the phone bridge line, hit star 2 on your keypad, your phone keypad, and we'll see that you would like your line unmuted, and we'll do so. If you're online on republicmagazine.com/webinar, there's a question box. Just type your question in there and hit submit, and we'll go ahead and make that question available. And I do have a couple of questions, if we might, Tommy, and then we'll move forward back with where you were going, if that's okay.
All right. Sure.
We have Frank from Long Beach, and I get messages, maybe it's more of a statement. It says, thank you, Tommy, for your indefatigable efforts in combating these tyrants on behalf of all Americans. By the way, thoroughly enjoyed your seminar this past February. And then Brian in St. Paul says, been fighting the IRS for years, and now they wish to levy my Social Security benefits because a levy only implies to government employees, et cetera. Can they actually do this?
Well, thanks to the kudos on the seminar. Now, this is seminars that we're going to be doing in Florida this coming week, aren't the same ones. But I appreciate the kind words on the question regarding the levy of Social Security benefits. There's a yes and a no to that. Although people have interpreted, 6331 rather, as saying that only wages of government employees can be levied, that's an inaccurate construction of that statute, because what that second part is merely a waiver of sovereign immunity. If they didn't tack that on, then the first part, which says that they can enforce a lien or collect a tax that is not timely paid after notice and demand, by seizure of property or the right to property. That's where the power to levy the right to property, the right to your Social Security benefits, can be seized. Now, the no part, and here's the good news, is that with Social Security benefits, the most that they can take is 15%. Now, that's the critical 15%. If you're making it on Social Security, then you're a lot more frugal, a lot more efficient than anybody I know. But losing 15% of that can certainly, be almost as bad as losing, half of a typical paycheck that you're used to living on. So it puts you below subsistence level, and so that's not much of a comfort. But at least there's a limitation there. In others, they can take the whole thing just about. I hope that answered the question.
Okay, great. I'm sure if it didn't, they'll ask some more. And one other one, Phil in Florida is asking the exact question I was going to be asking next. When and where will Mr. Cryer be in Florida?
Okay, I'm glad you asked that, Earl. And who was it? Oh, asked that?
Phil in Florida. He's there, okay, so maybe
Phil,
he wants to point
and
out.
I'm glad you asked Earl to ask that, Phil. What... we're starting Sunday in Hollywood, which is situated about midway between Fort Lauderdale and Miami. We'll be at the Holiday Inn Hollywood on Sheraton, if I recall correctly, at the Sheraton exit on just off 95. Nice facility, great venue. We're going to have a big kickoff there. That'll be on Sunday. Monday morning, we're getting up very early, and we're going across Alligator Alley. And we're going to go up to a little town called Estero, but about midway between Fort Myers and Naples. We're trying to give as many people an opportunity to do this, as many groups from as many communities as we can, to arm themselves. We're handing out the pitchforks and the axes and the ropes and the torches, and we're teaching people how to use them. And we want to maximize that. That's why we're situating these things in between communities. Estero is a fantastic venue. It's a room that'll hold 1,000, and the people there have insisted that they're going to fill it. And then from Estero, which is Fort Myers and Naples, we're going to be going up on Tuesday to Tampa, where we will be at the West Shore Hotel on West Shore Boulevard. And a great, excited bunch of people down there hosting that, and great groups that are supporting it. And then Wednesday, we're going to Orlando, a super venue, and I don't know how we lucked into this. It's a five-star hotel. We're having to pay a little extra for the rooms, but the meeting room that typically would run in Orlando, $3,000 to $4,000, was virtually given to us. A beautiful meeting room. It'll hold 350 to 380, so there's plenty of room there. Then from Orlando to Ocala, and we're working on it. When we rescheduled, we lost our venue there. We had a good one there, but it wasn't available on the new date. And so we're scrambling to get another venue there. We've got two options that we're looking at, open for one that's even a little better. But everybody there is fired up and anxious to find out where we're going, because that's all we need is a place to go. After Ocala, we go up to Jacksonville. Jacksonville will be at the Marriott on, if I recall correctly, Salisbury Road, which is just off of Butler Boulevard. Butler Boulevard is an exit on 95 just south of Jacksonville. And nice place. There were 10 local groups that showed up when I went made my dry run this weekend. And 10 local groups that say, we want our members to have the benefit of this. We've heard about it. The ones down in Estero, 8 local groups showed up. And about a dozen people there. And several of them said, I didn't even know these other groups existed, but now that we know who each other are, think what we can do. You know, it's starting to catch on. People are realizing that if you had 5 groups with 1,000 people, they could make themselves look like 5 groups with 5,000 people each, just simply by going to each other's events. And then the politicians are sitting there looking at 25,000. There's only 5,000 there, but they're counting 25,000 just because we work together. So why shouldn't we work the numbers the other way around? They work it. They play them. This is politics, remember. Politics isn't reality. Politics is perception. And then after we finish with the seminar in Jacksonville, we're hooking it over to Tallahassee, the state capital. And we'll be at that one. That'll be at the Civic Center downtown. And they're really hyped up about this at the Civic Center. Everybody that finds out what we're doing just gets excited as Dickens. And of course, me too. Because, you know, just like I'm thinking the other day, or it's in today's update, that we're talking about, you know, this group in Estero, these 8 groups in Estero in Fort Myers and Naples, and they're saying, no, I'm looking at where do we cut off this huge room. And they're saying, don't cut it off anywhere because we're going to fill it up. And I'm thinking, wow, can you imagine the look on that congressman's face when all of a sudden 1,000 people know where his buttons are and start pushing them all at the same time?
Love it.
I mean, you know, if that doesn't excite a freedom movement patriot, nothing will get you worked up. But then we're going to Tallahassee, and in Tallahassee, that will be the final one. All the guys that we've been hearing from that are on the speaking tours, we're bringing other people with us, like John Kottmeyer with Liberty Works Radio Network. Liberty Works Radio Network is on the verge of breaking out nationwide with national coverage. Keep your fingers crossed and put a prayer in, because we're working on a really big deal. But in the meantime, you know, put your dip your quill in the inkwell and write a check and help us to pay those bills while we're trying to struggle out through this embryonic stages of Liberty Works Radio Network. After we get done in Tallahassee, we're all going to go home, but the ripples are going to still keep going. They're going to keep rippling out, because all of these tools that these people are getting are not only going to just stop, they're going to start getting put to use. And what we're teaching isn't going to stop with those we taught, because everybody who comes to this seminar is going to be given a book version of the seminar, called the Truth Attacks Lost Art of Citizenry. And a 50-page book that spells all of this out. Now, I'm looking forward, too, to some other skills that I don't know. Somebody says, well, I know a lot about politics. What could I learn about it? And I said, well, I was at it for 25 years. I waded through the trenches with the mud, the blood, and the Lord telling what else is in the bottom of those trenches. And I was in the smoke-filled back rooms, and I'm rubbing shoulders with people like Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey and Phil Graham, and meeting people, you know, throwing lunches for Barbara. I think I'm about as close in, but I guarantee you I'm going to learn something at this seminar. I'll have something I learned at this seminar. I said one example is I do good to program a VCR, and now that I've learned to do that, they're obsolete. But I'm going to learn something about using a computer and the Internet as a weapon of mass instruction because George Shepherd is coming, and he knows all about that. And he's going to show us some of the ways that we can use the Internet as a political tool. I'm looking forward to learning something about that. An historian and a good patriot named Jim Robinson is coming, and he knows a lot about the history of the jury. And I want to know what he knows. I don't know. So I said, if you go to this seminar and you don't learn something like I do, then you're a heck of a lot smarter man than I ever thought I was. And I'll give you your money back if you tell me you didn't learn anything. And he just kind of grinned, and he laughed, and he says, okay. He says, I think I'm not only coming. I'm going to bring everybody I can get. Yeah, we need to learn that. So, you know, this is going to be a powerful, powerful event.
Well, it sounds like it's not only going to be an incredible opportunity, like you said, for the groups and the members of different organizations to network together and share skills and learn and really arm themselves and learn how to use the tools they already have, but also very inspirational, and it'll just be a one-of-a-kind type of thing. Understand that this is like the kickoff of a model that can be repeated in every single state by state throughout the nation. And you're starting with Florida, so it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, the next one is Tennessee. As a matter of fact, yesterday we got a call from a lady who said, I'm mostly concerned or think mostly interested in knowing about how long Mr. Cryer and Mr. Beecraft are going to be talking, because I'm thinking of coming down there for the seminars, and I want to make sure it'll be worth it because I want to hear what they have to say. And so Gloria, the secretary, asked her, said, well, how long do you think he would need? She said, because Mr. Cryer's going to be speaking for about a half hour, and so will be Mr. Beecraft. But she said, they're going to be there the whole time, both of them. And she said, that would be worth it. I said, well, how far are you coming? She said, I'm in Canada.
Wow.
So Gloria told her, said, well, you know, they're going to be doing this again in Tennessee. She said, Tennessee? She said, I'm about to move to Tennessee in a few months. I said, well, it's coming up in Tennessee in the spring. She says, well, wonderful. So but we messed up. We cost ourselves a ticket. But we'll get her in Tennessee. But what a compliment to say that, to tell somebody it's worth coming from Canada to hear what you have to say. It's enough to give you the big head.
That's tremendous. It really is. I was going to ask you, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That was it. I was done with that. It was just that, you know, we're going to be doing it in Tennessee and in Texas after that, and we haven't decided beyond Texas yet.
Okay. Well, that's quite ambitious already. That's very exciting. Well, what can local Tea Party groups do to participate and benefit from Tea Party Squared? I know you touched on it a little bit, but... Maybe.
Well, one thing they could do is if you have some Tea Party groups that, say, are in Alabama or in Georgia or even Mississippi, you know, because we're going to have those two right up on the north end of the state, we could, you know, it would be worth their while to drive down to for these things. We've negotiated favorable room rates at most of these venues, and it'll be worth it for them to drive down and take that back to their members. Like I said, this book, you know, Earl, I've written an awful lot for the movement, and I, as a matter of fact, I wrote most of this book. It's a compilation from the different experts, but the bulk of it I wrote. And what I didn't write, I edited. And although I've put out an awful lot of material, I've never copyrighted the first page. These books, if somebody wants to get out and copy them and send them out, there's no copyright stamp on that. I'm doing that because I want more people to know, not more people to buy. And so they could take these books home with them, and that's where the education continues. And that's where nothing is forgotten. There'll be a lot more at the seminar than we could put in the booklet. It's a 50-page book, and it has a sample of a press release, a sample of how to write a congressman, the tone to use, what to tell him, and not what not to tell him. It has a sample of a letter to the editor. You know, and it gives examples of the hook, of you know, the point, of the counterpoint, rebuttal, and then the wrap. It gives all of the components that newspapers are looking for and saying, yeah, there's one we can put on the op-ed page. So the book itself is going to be a continuing factor and would be a benefit. So if they're somewhere nearby, they can. They would certainly benefit. When we were going to have rallies, there were groups that were wanting to come from Ohio. We're going to charter buses.
That's great. I'm wondering if you could give contact information. I know people are wondering how they can make contact with all of this.
Where they can get full information. And by the way, pre-registration is about to close. But where they can get full information about these seminars and about where we're going is at Tea Party Squared, spelled out, because I haven't figured out how to put the superscript in it, Earl, yet. But teapartysquared.com, teapartysquared.com. They can also access information or teapartysquared.com by going to truthattack.org, and along the top bar there's a Tea Party Squared button tab that they can open, and you know, the information on each seminar is there. We're posting more current and more detailed information about who the speakers are. I'd like to give you a quick rundown. I know I'm going over the 30 minutes like a spare, but
you can take
but
it
I don't want to cut it short here either. Quick rundown. We've got Dave Von Kleist coming as the MC. Terrific guy. We've got Jim Cavanis, who is head of AVID, American Veterans in Domestic Defense, which is a coalition of over 200 veterans groups that are determined to save the country from domestic enemies as well as foreign. He'll be covering the benefits of alliances. Learn how to learn your rights and the limitations of the government, because otherwise you don't know when your rights are being violated and you don't know whenever their limitations are being exceeded. Larry B. Craft is going to talk about how to learn that, where to find the information, what's the best route, how to get hold, what books should you have. Joe Bannister will be doing that segment, the last two, because Larry has to leave the train and go back home for his daughters being in the homecoming court at Auburn. Quite a privilege. But then the next segment will be Peyman Motahedha talking about how to teach, how to spread the word, tricks of the trade on getting the word out, on disseminating information, waking people up, and showing them how it relates to them. This isn't just an issue that's, you know, you have to make every issue count to whoever it is you're telling it about. Otherwise, it's just news. It's just a story. And then following that, you'll have three, three strong presentations on how to exert pressure on our public servants, both elected and appointed, I guess inherited in some cases. And, we'll be talking about how to push them politically where their buttons are. That'll be my part from my years in the trenches, knowing what matters, what we look at when we are gauging a campaign, because it's the same thing we look at throughout the year or throughout the term. That's how we figure the pulse. The second will be George Shepherd talking about the use of the Internet I mentioned a while ago. And the third will be Jim Robinson, very knowledgeable expert on jury powers, what they really are, not what the government pretends that they are, but what they really are. And, we have a veto power over Congress, and nobody knows it. Don't you think that would be good to know?
Well, yeah.
So then Dave Van Cleiss is going to come in. He's going to wrap it all up and say, when you won that, we're going to line up a bind, another one, and go fight again. And that's why we're calling them the Altar Seminar, Ally, Learn, Teach, Exert, Repeat.
Boy, that is quite a lineup. That's quite exciting. I know you're on limited time. If you do have any more time, we have a few more questions that have come in.
Let me answer those two questions, because I don't like leaving anybody hanging on base. But I do need to run. I'm stretching it because this is all important. I mean, all ears don't know when to shut up.
Okay, so shall we throw a couple of more questions your way? Or not?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tom Hillary in Louisville, Texas asks, since you won your personal case against the IRS, have you ever considered sponsoring a class action lawsuit against the IRS? How would the IRS react to 1,000 or 10,000 taxpayers suing them? How would the news media react to the case?
The good question. The class action is not available strictly on procedural problems. A class action is a very limited scope of coverage or application, and taxes aren't one of them. Another reason for that is the Anti-Injunction Act does not allow us to sue to stop an illegal or an unconstitutional tax. We're not allowed to file a suit against that. Now, I can't get into the 1,000 people question, because now you're starting to get into classified turf. But I will say this, that there is a right time and a right place for everything. And we know the place, and we know the time, but it's not now, not yet. But so I'm not saying no to that. I'm just saying stand by for news, as Paul Harvey would have said. But it won't be in the next few months.
All right. These things take time. Phil in Florida says, is the remedy and recourse in the UCC applicable in the redemption in law by filing the UCC-1 and claiming sovereignty by trademark and copyrighting the all-caps name of an individual as a company and corporation? As I understand it, the government cannot do business with a flesh and blood being, only a fiction, legal entity, fiduciary, or company.
Now, I could spend the next 2 hours on that question.
Good.
And, Phil, I'm glad you asked it, because you might have saved somebody a lot of grief by asking that one question. Number one, the UCC is state law. State law deals with state matters. It doesn't deal with taxes. It's also commercial law, UCC, Uniform Commercial Code. So it deals with commercial transactions. Taxes are not commercial. Taxes are governmental. So UCC has no bearing. I know it's one of the snake oil, what I call the tinfoil hat brigade, silver bullets that people are peddling out there. The saddest part is that those folks are actually damaging the credibility. I mean, I was attacked this week as being a tax protester, and I was characterized, painted with some of these wacky arguments, even though I never made any such statements. In other words, a whole movement is being characterized by some of these things. Now, second, redemption process, which all goes back to the end of the question, and that is a concept that government cannot deal with a living person. That, now, that particular contention comes from a case that was cited by a gentleman by the name, and I'm being very kind here, a gentleman by the name of Roger Elvick in a book called Cracking the Code. Not the Cracking the Code that just got convicted, but the original Cracking the Code book that dealt with the redemption process. And he says that this is a result of a case called Penhallow in 1796. There was a case called Penhallow in 1796, but if you look at the quote that he puts in that book, and a quote that's often referred to illustrate that point, which doesn't exist, the quote isn't in there. If you look at that case, it had nothing to do with that, which whether the government could interact with a person, a living person. And the whole redemption process, the whole straw man concept, the whole capital letters idea is nothing but a sham. It is a total fabrication. And I know that I'm offending somebody out there who's dedicated to that particular concept. But if they go back and protect themselves by going back and looking at Penhallow, pull Penhallow up. You can get it on Find Law. Find that quote in Penhallow. It isn't there. The quote is made up. It's a fabrication. Not only that, but recently a guy was convicted. I don't recall the name, but he's convicted on his birth certificate theory that he was using to cash in, buying cars with his bills of exchange and his bonded promissory notes and his 1099 OID scheme. And he was convicted of fraud and theft based on the fact that because his birth certificate had his name in all caps, well, they came up with his birth certificate. It was all caps and lowers. Even his birth certificate wasn't in all caps. But, you know, in this concept, that if you write my name in all caps, and that's not me, that's my corporate straw man. Well, where is this corporate straw man filed? Where is it recorded? You know, there's no such thing as secret law. There's no such thing as a secret court. Somebody wanted to know about the bankruptcy of America. And I said, well, you know, it can't discharge regular debts because, you see, I said, where's this bankruptcy filed? He said, in a secret court. I said, well, there you have it. You know, it can only discharge secret debts. So it couldn't discharge the regular debts, only the secret ones. And, of course, I was being a little sarcastic there, but it made the point. But no, Phil, I'm sorry. You know, there is a Santa Claus in the sense that the gentleman who answered Virginia's letter to the Chicago Sun said there is a spirit of Santa Claus in all of us, but there is no straw man in all of us. And I'm sorry to have to report that, but it's caused nothing but people going to prison, people losing everything they had. It's incredible. And where they have had successes, these are successes that are only setting up for a big, big fall.
And Kathleen in Miami says, do you know about the Tea Party rally in Orlando on November 12th at Lake Eola?
Excuse me. I know that Tea Party Express is planning on ending up in Orlando on November 11 or 12. And I hope that their Tea Party rally on the 12th, if that's when they're going to have it, is a huge success. We had hoped to be the first statewide Tea Party. And I left that to these groups that were down there training to do that because we had to pull our horns in. You know, you can only do so much, especially on your maiden voyage. You know, this is our first time. But I think that what she's talking about is the Tea Party Express project, because they've announced that they're going to be on another Tea Party drive. I don't know where they're starting, but they're coming down, going city to city for these, you know, rallies. and they're going to culminate at Orlando on November 11th was the date that I had heard. If it's the 12th, that's fine too. But I hope it's a big success. We had tried to figure out a way to meet up with them, to both of us collide like trains, you know, at the end, and double up. And it just didn't work because our commitments didn't permit us to do that.
Okay. And Phil in Florida asks, will the seminar be videoed and uploaded for view? If so, where will it be located for access?
The seminars will be recorded. They'll be videotaped. And we are looking at the production of a compilation of the best of the best of the seven to post as a webinar on the Truth Attack website.
Okay. So they should stay tuned and watch the site for that.
Right. Okay. Right. But the... And then, of course, that subject changed, too, because when we hit Tennessee and we start doing these, and there's so much more, you know, you can get a lot off the Internet. But when we hit Tennessee, we're going to be doing them even better, I believe. You know, the more you do something, the better you get at it.
Absolutely. That's the way it works. Phil also asks, please don't forget about us in District 1 in the Panhandle, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Escambia counties. Please repeat the book title and where, you know, can the public access that book on the Internet as a PDF file or other format?
Well, the book is a work in progress. You know, it changes, and it's going to be – there's going to be a lot that I've got, for example, I couldn't put in there just because of space and time and printing costs. But as we go along and we dig out – because, you know, we had to borrow the money to seed this. If we can come out in the black on this, then we can do it bigger and better. But the book will certainly be available in PDF form with the webinar that we'll have up. You know, if we're able to produce it. Now, we're working on that. It hasn't happened yet, and until it's real, I don't want to announce something unless and until we know we've got it put together and it works. You know, it's got to click. But I think that we're going to end up with an excellent teaching tool that can be accessed by the entire country while we're out delivering an even better version state by state.
That's great. Andrew in Lake in the Hills asked, how could we organize an event like this in Illinois? We are 50 miles northwest of the
Up in Detroit, which wasn't too far, a couple of weeks ago, putting on what we call our mini seminars. Now, if you have a group that wants to build its membership, or a group that wants to raise funds, you know, I will come there and put on a seminar that demonstrates the problem that we have. You know, half of solving a problem is understanding how the problem came about and what it is. Once you know the problem, you can solve it. When I was tiny, I can't remember him not doing it. My dad used to pepper me with brain teasers, riddles. And finally, it got to where I was solving the riddle before he finished it, or the brain teaser. And he said, how did you do that so quick? I said, well, I figured out that the solution to all of these is in the problem. So all I have to do is watch for the problem and what's the problem, and it tells me what the solution is. He said, okay. He said, well, I'll find another way to torment you then. But he was trying to build my head, my problem-solving skills. And if you know the problem and understand it, then you know what the solution is. It's obvious. So I teach how the problem came about, what it is in this seminar. Then I set out the entire Truth Attack plan of attack. Write down, you know, a PowerPoint presentation on the entire thing. All of the gate for those seminars, every penny of the gate, and we ask is that you don't charge over $50 because we want more people, you know. But every penny of the proceeds of the gate goes to the host group. All that I walk away with is donations that people give me while I'm there.
Okay.
And the only cost associated with it is getting me there and back. So, yeah, we could, you know, to do that, go to Truth Attack's website, and look on the homepage for a little feature down there that says, could your group use more members, or could it stand to raise funds, or something to that effect, and click more there. And we were going to have we're adding other people to that roster, but right now I'm the only one that's got his material together on him. The others are working it up. But this seminar here is going to be strictly a Tea Party Squared seminar for the time being. If that changes, we'll announce it.
Okay. Mike in Vermont says, it seems to me that all these movements are only feel-good or fearful activities directed at the people. The government, courts, and corporations with their public policy and court administrators only seem to have gotten more powerful in the last 8 years since 9/11. Do you feel that both ends of the revolution are being controlled? How can anyone tell who's fighting what and for whom and who's in the movement just for the purpose of making money, et cetera?
Well, what happens is that whenever you start getting close to a victory, the ones that are in it for the money will turn on you because you're threatening their rice bowl. Until then, you fight with them while they're pretending, and you just take the best that you can get out of it as long as it lasts. Now, as far as, so it's setting, you know, when you separate the wheat from the chaff, it just takes a thrashing. Which ones will get beat up on and still keep coming back at them? And as for the courts and the court administration, it's not that they are acting or whatnot. What it is it's a total indifference to the law. They're sworn to the law just like I am, but they're totally indifferent to it. They could care less. It's all expedience and whether the government benefits. And if the government benefits, they benefit. And they become little godlets that think that they are the source of the law instead of a servant of the law. And one of the things that we're doing with Truth Attack is we are constructing now a new webpage for the site called the Truth Attack Judicial Hall of Shame. And we've got for that page, we have a monkey, screaming chimpanzee wearing a judge's wig. And we're going to expose the judges that are monkeying with our system and ignoring the law and ruling according to their selfish interests. So letting them know that they're being watched. Thieves don't steal as much whenever they're being watched. Look, Earl, I hate to cut us off.
I know, I understand. That's fine. You've given us a lot of time, and I really appreciate it. And maybe just give out your contact information one more time so everybody is sure to have it.
Well, people can contact me through truthattack.org. Under contact, my email is hq@truthattack.org, or they can contact us through teapartysquared.com. They can get information on the itinerary and the upcoming events for the Tea Party Squared at teapartysquared.com, and they can they may still be able to register if they hurry pre-register, but there are plenty of seats left. We are going to fill those rooms up, but their seats left. They can register at the door.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate it. And I know you've got to jump off, and because I'm going to make a couple of announcements before we close it off. So, thank you very much, Tommy Cryer, and have a wonderful day.
All right,
day.
And Phil, I hope to see you down Florida way.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thanks, Earl.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we do these webinars every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the same time. We have a variety of topics that we cover related to freedom of choice, liberty, freedom, patriot issues, preparedness, every type of thing imaginable. Tomorrow, which is Thursday, we have William Henry with a fascinating sharing of Freedom's Gate, the lost symbols in the U.S. Capitol. And I have talked with him a bit. I ran into him at a conference, and he shared quite a bit of information with me, and I think you're going to enjoy that. That's going to be a stimulating presentation. We will have the replay of this particular webinar today, as well as all of our past webinars that we've done, posted at republicmagazine.com/webinar, and so just give us a slight bit of time, and then you can find it there. It's downloadable. You could click and listen. It's a great way to access all kinds of information. And I apologize that we didn't get to everyone's question today. I know there were questions that people had. Perhaps what we can do is bring Tom back another time. He can speak on a variety of topics. Maybe he can give us an update of what's been happening with the Tea Party Squared and other activities a little bit down the road as they've been going for a little bit. So certainly thank everybody for being on the webinar today, and we'll see you tomorrow at the same time for another stimulating guest. Thanks and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.